You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iron. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. If you come to the site now, you can look at my latest articles ranking the 32 veteran starting quarterbacks right now projected around the league in reality form there. So looking at an assessment, something you can maybe take into fantasy just for your consideration for what we can expect this season. And then breaking down the Seahawks, you can check that article. A lot of changes there, more on the role of Rashad Penny, and we'll talk a lot more about him and the rookie running backs as we get closer here to the season. And you can follow me on Twitter at Vinny Iron, Facebook at Vinny Iron, and catch up there for any podcasts you've missed as well. We've gone around the 8 divisions in the NFL, kind of a preview review. So we have that in the book. So what we'll do on today's show is kind of catch you up on some of the latest OTA news as teams go into mandatory minicamp next week. But some news coming out that's positive around the league. And I think you have to start with the big injury updates that we're looking for guys to be on track. And there's some good news regarding all the guys that had torn ACLs that are a concern, especially for fantasy football. I think you start with Carson Wentz here at quarterback. There was a report from ESPN's Chris Mortensen. The Eagles are starting to feel good about Carson Wentz being ready for week one. So he's way ahead of his schedule, progressing well, running well in OTAs. That's been the report as well. So looking great here for Carson Wentz to be ready in week one. And Nick Foles is on standby. It's a reason they didn't trade him, just in case, to see what's going to happen with Carson Wentz's health. But the Eagles are optimistic. The reports out of Philadelphia's working, and they got an extra day of OTAs as well from not going to the White House, that things are looking good for Wentz on track. And a little bit of a surprise that he's that far ahead of schedule. We know there's a lot of fluff and optimism at this point of the year, but you have to really believe that the Eagles have their insurance. I think you'd still look at Nick Foles there as someone you might target if you're in a league that's drafting before week one. We know that's most of the leagues here where we're not sure. So if we were drafting in early to mid-August in some leagues, you'd probably look at Wentz and then try to back him up with Foles just in case, because you want the guys with the keys to this offense in Philadelphia, so to speak. We know how highly productive it can be, even with some of the losses they had at receiver and tight end this offseason. I think the good news about Wentz is how he's kind of assumed that role as a veteran leading quarterback, and he can feel very confident because he pretty much led a Super Bowl team. I know he wasn't there around, but he's starting to act that way. Another quarterback coming off a torn ACL had a few extra months to recover here so far is Deshaun Watson. We know all eyes are on what he can do. So far, he's working his way back to health, but the Texans are seeing a lot of good hard work from him. He's in the building early in OTAs, that's a report. So even if he can't be out in the field throwing things, he's virtually locking into this offense. The receivers, we know DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller. He's going to be on a better page with all those guys. I had a chance to talk to him this offseason early, and he's just looking fantastic there. Just mentally sharp. So he'll be mentally ready to go. The speed of the game is going to be a little bit easier for him to manage. And he's on track. And again, having those couple extra months to recover from the ACL have been really good here for Watson. And I think that's what you see about Watson Wentz. They're just special, special guys. Their reason that their teams in college won national championships at different levels, there's some vibe about them, and I think Houston fans can be happy, and fantasy fans can be looking forward to what Deshaun Watson can do. So these are two QB1s. They're pretty high-end that you're going to go for the upside. Could go, they're easily the top 6 QB1s. And so in that case, those are excellent to hear. Now, a QB that is not a QB1 is Ryan Tannehill. Now, he lost his entire season torn ACL, so he had Carson Wentz going down in December. He had Deshaun Watson in October. Ryan Tannehill went down there before the season in August, so he is fully ready to go, and they didn't keep Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler's back in retirement and not really an option behind him in the draft there. So Tannehill, all systems go, is going to be your starting quarterback in Miami. And they said he's a little bit renewed. It's going to be interesting to see how he adjusts without Jarvis Landry's go-to guy. I think that's going to be the biggest concern there with what's left in Kenny Stills and Devontae Parker, and now having Danny Amendola in the mix. How that's all going to affect Tannehill. He's a bit of a wild card going into fantasy, but the one thing for sure is not a question is the health and the status of Tannehill. He's going to be healthy, and he's going to start in week one. We'll see if it affects his mobility a little bit, but in terms of passing, he'll be out there. So we're talking about quarterbacks that are on the mend, a couple young guns, one guy trying to hold off another class of quarterback. So who are the guys that are going to follow Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, this excellent class, Lamar Jackson as well? Next year's draft, well, you got to listen to Locked On NFL Draft here on the Locked On NFL Network. A great resource for you to find out what's happening in the future, even now with the draft and the books. Almost 2 months later here, we'll see how these prospects look for next year, and we'll get a better idea as college teams start getting into their training camps and ready for their season, which we know starts a little earlier than the NFL season. Now we continue with some more news and notes here. We'll stick with the quarterback theme. Eli Manning. Now, Pat Shurmur, there's a lot of West Coast concepts that we had from Ben McAdoo. It's going to be carried over a little bit, but Pat Shurmur's kind of created a hybrid offense. When you look at his past, it has been a pretty strong West Coast where he's tied to guys like Andy Reid and Mike Holmgren, but he's does well to adjust to what he had at quarterback. So there's some downfield concepts that really has helped Case Keenum. A lot of West Coast principles that were there, but Keenum helped get the downfield pass going for the Vikings. We know the big plays of Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen happened. So Shurmur coming over as the head coach of the Giants, we're seeing some things to develop here. And Eli Manning, he should be throwing downfield. He's got a big arm. They tried to rein him in a little bit because they wanted him to be more efficient. Some of the numbers really did spike, but overall they weren't scoring and moving the ball and being aggressive enough there at the end of the McAdoo era. So Eli Manning's commented how he loves this offense, and it should be very good to go here. Baker Mayfield, we'll see what's happening with him. So far, he's looked very good in OTAs, but Tyrod Taylor still locked in as a starter. The one news that came out of Cleveland is Josh Gordon. He's just looked fantastic here. Mayfield has been blown away. Tyrod Taylor's getting used to throwing to a guy like Gordon, which he's never had there in Buffalo. So Josh Gordon's looking good. Everything is fine there. And I think you don't have to worry about it. Josh Gordon's not that risk anymore, that it's boom or bust. I think you can feel pretty comfortable the pass is behind him here after that half season, and then staying on track this offseason as well. I mean, it's pretty deep into the offseason. So Josh Gordon, a confident pick now as wide receiver one. It doesn't matter if it's Tyrod Taylor in the beginning or Baker Mayfield or transitions from Taylor to Mayfield. That's where you're going there. Now we look at a running back and an injury update there. Another torn ACL that we have to look is Dalvin Cook. He's been cleared to take part in the drills with the team here, so that's good. Another guy that tore his ACL in the middle of the season, but early, like you had with Watson even earlier than that for Cook. He was off to a great start, promising rookie year. It turned out to be the Jerick McKinnon and Latavius Murray show. They're splitting, but Cook is going to return as the workhorse. Remember, there's no more Jerick McKinnon. He was not signed and signed with San Francisco in free agency to kind of be their busy back there. So Cook's here to be the man, the third down option here. So as well, get involved. So no more McKinnon to cut into his receiving role there. So good news for Dalvin Cook as well. So all these ACLs were brutal when they happened, but Cook keeping up the theme of optimism here. And he's going to be locked in to me. I think he's a borderline RB1 just because of the usage that could happen with no McKinnon in the passing game. So good news there. Now, speaking of backfields, we're looking at Tennessee, and Tennessee has changed things up here. There's no more DeMarco Murray. Deion Lewis was signed away from the Patriots as a big acquisition, as well as another Patriot for defense, Malcolm Butler, at cornerback. But now we're trying to figure out how they're going to use Derrick Henry and Deion Lewis. Now, the report out of Nashville is the fact that Lewis and Henry are viewed as 1A, 1B. I don't know exactly who's A and B. I think it's more situational. I think it's pretty clear that they can't hide that. That in a lot of early down rushing situations, that Derrick Henry will be there, especially which opportunities that arise in the red zone in that respect. And then Deion Lewis is going to be more involved as the passing game back. We know that's how he started in New England, built and proved that he could do a little bit more. And that's the thing with both of these guys, Henry and Lewis, is that I don't think Henry's slowly a guy that's not going to catch passes. There are some things he did as a receiver, and he's improved in that area since he came to the league, that he was seen as a straight-line power runner, but he's shown a lot more than that, and wiggle and explosiveness, and they've tried to use him a little bit more, mainly so they don't telegraph plays here in the running or passing game, that they wanted Henry to expand his role. So he's done that. And Lewis expanded his role. We know that with getting consistent 20, 25 carries there at the end of the season for the Patriots, as they needed him to step up and carry a load in the running game. And hardly was a receiving threat because they had James White there. So both of these guys can cross over to the roles a little bit. If I'm going standard, it's still pretty clear that Derrick Henry is ahead of Lewis. If I'm going PPR, I think Lewis is where I would go. Or Henry, but it's going to be a good backfield. I think both these guys are going to make each other better and keep each other healthy, and that's the main thing here. So you may not get the stud you were looking for from Derrick Henry with the Lewis signing, but you're looking at pretty two nice RB2s here in the same situation, because we know that offensive line in Tennessee is going to be solid. Marcus Mariota is going to be better than this West Coast offense. All kinds of things pointing well to both these guys productive in the West Coast. Pure West Coast there with Matt LaFleur. We know how Todd Gurley was involved in the passing game for the Rams when LaFleur was there. So that is an excellent, excellent development there in that particular offense. Now, there's actually some tight end news as well. Kyle Rudolph had some ankle surgery this offseason. He's looking good here. This is important because we know how much Kirk Cousins likes the tight end, inheriting Rudolph here to be on the field. So it was a tough injury year a few years ago, but Rudolph has become very durable for the Vikings here. So I bet Rudolph and Cousins will have a good combination. So it looks all good that he will be effective. Now, we were looking at Rob Gronkowski and the question marks. Is he going to hold out for a new deal? Whatever. He is still going to be a trooper here. He has not really hinted that he takes time off. He's now healthy. The issues aren't there anymore in the past. He's not going to just skip minicamp here because he wants to stay healthy. He's going to be motivated here. He wants a new deal, but he's a guy that likes playing football and wants to be part of the work and be out there. So I don't think that's going to limit the way Gronk produces. I don't think that's going to limit the way that the Patriots feel about him, or if he misses reps and all that. It doesn't really matter. We know Gronk is entrenched. This offense, it still has Josh McDaniels as the offensive coordinator. Nothing new to learn here at all. So Gronk, things are fantastic here for Gronk. And we just want him to stay off the field and stay healthy, unlike Hunter Henry, who we know went down there in Los Angeles. So limit his reps, get him his new deal, but still keep him a little motivated. That's perfect for Gronk's production. Now, Zach Miller, we looked at the Bears, had some promise there, but he's done for sure now. They brought him back, put on reserve pup, just not going to play here. So They're moving on. Trey Burton is the Bears tight end now that you're going to look at more. Deion Sims is still around there, but Trey Burton clearly is going to be looked at more as a receiving threat after they were aggressive to get him as a free agent, following his Philly special and strong turn as the Eagles' backup tight end. Now, we're talking a lot about teams going round the horn with these teams and the fantasy perspective of the latest news and notes and OTAs. The best way to get that is by listening to your beat reports for team-specific information on the Locked On NFL Network. And you can also expand NBA drafts around the corner. MLB draft just happened. MLB season in full swing. We've got team-by-team local podcasts for those sports as well. So check them all out on the Locked On NFL Network. Now, in closing for today's show, we'll have plenty more things to come out of a mini camp next week. Just some thoughts on if you should bring in any personal feelings into fantasy football. I know some people say you don't want to draft players from this team or anyone who have done things that you might disagree with off the field and all that. I say it's fantasy football. It's already a game. It's something a little bit out there that you're trying to do this for yourself in the end, and that's the way you're looking at fantasy football. You're trying to construct the best possible team for yourself. You're competing in a different level of game, and you shouldn't worry about that outside noise. So the only thing I think you need to look at fantasy football is how are these guys going to put up the numbers and stats that are going to translate into fantasy points for you and then in turn victories. So I know there's a lot of controversy and things that have gone on off the field with the anthem and however you feel about that and what players should do. You got to throw them out the window when you're thinking fantasy football, because again, it's a lot different game and you have a lot different objective, and you can take politics out of this. And when you're having any leisure activity, you would do that as well. So whether you're thinking about what you want to drink or eat versus who you want to play in your fantasy football league, I think it's all the same. You make your personal judgments based on what could bring you the most happiness. And in fantasy football, the case is what can bring you the most results, because this is a results business. Anything else is kind of irrelevant as we go into this game for 2018, a game we certainly love. So thanks so much for listening to Locked On Fantasy Football. We'll come back with a lot more news, notes, information that you need as we inch towards training camp here in 2018. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time.